Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we will be presenting our 12th part in a 14-part series that we have titled Satan's Counterfeits. It is based upon my document titled Identifying Satan's Counterfeits, including his sinister ministers and their false doctrine. Our theme verses in this particular series have been Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, and also 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Matthew 15, starting in verse 7, "Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Now, those verses have dominated in this particular series that we're teaching, simply for the reason that if your doctrine is not right, you're teaching the doctrines of man instead of the doctrines of the Bible, then your worship is vain. And also, if your doctrine is not right, you'll end up being turned away into fables. On this particular session, we're going to deal with the issue of counterfeit Christian music. And believe me, it is has become a very powerful influence in compromised and apostate churches. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 47, and we're going to read verses 5 through 7. Verse 5, "God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding." Now, there are at least 102 references to singing unto the Lord in our Bibles. We have trees singing unto the Lord. We have the whole earth singing unto the Lord. We have the mountains singing unto the Lord. We have the heavens singing unto the Lord. Lastly, we have the trees singing and clapping unto the Lord. They are offering up an eternal anthem of praise unto our God and Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. 32 different times the phrase "sing praises" are used of and for God. 17 times the Bible says "sing unto the Lord." Psalm 150 verse 6 says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." If we do not praise Him, the rocks will cry out in our stead. That would make us dumber than a rock. Even the pagans have their own worship music. It is particularly manifest in Daniel chapter 3, where we read the following in verses 3 through 18. Verse 3, "Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso faileth, whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kind of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now if you be ready, that at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's Daniel chapter 3, verses 3 through 18. Most of the counterfeit churches in the world are offering up music to another manifestation of the same pagan deity as that of Daniel chapter 3. It is but another manifestation of the devil himself. Would to God that we had some real men in our churches, such as Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that would stand against the paganism that has taken over our churches and our society. Notice the music that is associated with the worship of paganism. Nothing has changed today, even thousands of years later. Contemporary Christian music is still offering up pagan music unto the false god of Daniel chapter 3. God has standards for music that honors him. Here is what the Bible says about music in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, and 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verses 1 through 7. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's Ephesians 5, verses 18 and 19. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now we'll read 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verses 1 through 7. Verse 1, Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals, and the number of the workmen according to their service was of the sons of Asaph, Zakur, and Joseph, and Nethaniah, and Azrelah, the sons of Asaph under the hands of Asaph, which prophesied according to the order of the king. Of Jeduthan, the sons of Jeduthan, Gedaliah and Zariah and Jeshaiah and Hashabiah and Mattathiah, 6 under the hands of their father Jeduthan, who prophesied with a harp to give thanks and praise the Lord. Of Heman, the sons of Heman, Bukiah, Mattaniah, Uzziel, Shabuel, and Jeremoth, Hananiah, Hanani, Eliphai, Gedaltai, and Romantizer, Josh, Kabasha, Malathai, Hothir, and Mahaziah. What a mouthful that is, folks. All these were the sons of He-Man, the king's seer, in the words of God, to lift up the horn. And God gave to He-Man 14 sons and 3 daughters. All these were under the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord, with cymbals, psaltery, and harps for the service of the house of God, according to the king's order to Asaph, Jeduthan, and He-Man. So the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord, even all that were cunning, was 288. These are but some of the biblical requirements for Christian music. Notice that the songs are to be spiritual songs. That means that both the lyrics and the music are to exalt God. The songs must be holy and they must be uplifting. When we say spiritual, we mean that the songs are anointed of the Holy Ghost. The scriptures call for hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs to be sung in the churches. Verses 1, 2, and 3 of 1 Chronicles chapter 25 says much about the spiritual power of the musical instruments themselves. Music is not neutral, folks. Notice that the musicians in the temple were to prophesy with their musical instruments. That means that the musical instruments were to preach. The musical instruments had a message themselves that was independent of any lyrics. Never let a corrupt musician tell you that music is not critical to conveying the message of the lyrics. The problem with most counterfeit Christian songs today is that they lack a godly melody. It is that melody that speaks of God's message to the soul and spirit. Most Christian music today has been hopped up and chopped up. Many of the old hymns are being destroyed by speeding them up so that the old folks cannot keep up. Hymns should be sung as they are written and not put on speed or caffeine. Many song leaders have neglected to notice that many songs are top noted, stating that they are to be sung slowly. Songs that are sung slowly do not hinder worship. They promote worship because they force people to slow down and meditate upon what they are singing. Many of the melodies that speak to the heart are being chopped up by being sped up. Many of the old hymns sound like the chipmunks singing today. Many independent Baptist churches have embraced the camp meeting style hymn books produced by Pentecostals. Many of the hymns in the Pentecostal hymn books were written and licensed by apostate, spiritually shallow Southern gospel musicians. They are not Baptist hymnals, and neither are they hymnals for fundamental Bible-believing Christians, whether you be a Baptist or not. Many of them are carnal, sold under sin. I find myself longing for the days when we sang Baptist songs from the Holy Ghost anointed Baptist hymn books. It is a sad day when our Baptist pastors have forsaken the ancient landmarks and latched onto hymn books that are compromised at best. The deeper we go into that movement, the less truly spiritual we become. The compromised hymn books are the darlings of the satanic contemporary Christian music movement. And when I start talking about compromise hymns, there's a hymnal that's called the church hymnal that is used in many independent Baptist churches. That is a Church of God hymnal. It's published by their publishing companies. And you better be looking at the doctrine that's being taught in those particular hymn books. There are good hymn books out there. You don't have to use the church hymnal. God expects Christians to maintain holy standards of separation from every worldly lust and sin. That expectation especially applies to music that is used in the churches and in our personal lives. Music is the most powerful influence in many people's lives. Satan uses counterfeit Christian music to corrupt Christians and their churches. Not every kind or genre of music is suitable for Christians to use in church or in their personal lives. Music, I say this again, music is not neutral. If music sounds like it came out of a rock concert, you would not want it in the church. If music sounds like it come out of a country and western bar, you would not want it in the church. If music sounds like rap music, you would not want it in the church. If music sounds like it came out of a jazz festival, you would not want it in the church. If music sounds like it come out of a blues concert, you would not want it in the church. All music that is used in the church must honor and glorify God. You cannot use the world's music to honor and glorify God. Let me repeat that. You cannot use the world's music to honor and glorify God. I have studied the issue of Christian music for years, and I have watched many churches get destroyed by compromising on the issue of music. I have over 20 hours of video and 17 hours of audio on my computer that deals with every aspect of both good and corrupt Christian music. I've read 7 books on the issue. I have 267 articles on my computer dealing with the issue of Christian music. It has been a burden for me. My greatest hindrance in studying the issue is that I am not a musician. Over the years, I've had a number of disagreements and discussions with my pastors about the music they allow into the churches that they pastor. When I hear corrupt and loud music, it grieves the Holy Ghost that is in me. When I say loud, I know that there are 5 passages of Scripture in the Bible that encourage loud singing and or loud instruments. These include 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 21, Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 42, Psalm 33, verse 3, Psalm 98, verse 4, and Psalm 150, verse 5. When the Bible says we are to praise God with loud voices and loud instruments, that does not mean that the voices are screaming and the instruments are deafening. Listen up, pastor and music leader. When you push and allow music in your church that is deafening, it leads to the destruction of your listeners' hearings. That is a sin against God. Much of the raucous music that is sung in our independent Baptist churches adds insult to injury through the obnoxious applause that follows it. It is a grievance to the Holy Ghost. Is it worship music or performance music? That's a question I would ask anybody with an exclamation point. I've heard independent Baptist pastors publicly criticize, mock, and rebuke those who are opposed to clapping following music performances, and that's what they are. When you have to have applause and somebody's offended because they don't get it, it is a performance, folks. That is born of a wicked spirit. It is offensive to me and the Holy Ghost that is in me. Not that I am a great singer, but many years ago I would occasionally try to sing in church. That is until the clapping started. It begs the question, are you praising men or are you praising God when you do that? I once heard Pastor Charles Lawson of Temple Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, publicly rebuke his congregation following the applause that followed some singing. I said, hallelujah, praise God, somebody finally stood up and done what was right. The issue of counterfeit Christian music is much more controversial than money or tithing. In so-called fundamentalist churches, including independent Baptists who like to think of themselves as the fundamentalist of fundamentalists. I've served as a church treasurer for many years in two different independent Baptist churches. I've served as a Bible Institute teacher, a Sunday school teacher, and a preacher for about 29 years now. I know the controversy and outright spiritual warfare that takes place over the issue of tithing and how its monies are spent. Over the years, I have watched the nervous reactions that I observed from my listeners when I, their treasurer, taught and preached on tithing. At times, I thought I could see some people sweat. In general, if you want to follow the controversy, follow the money. But there is a subject that is much more volatile than money, believe it or not, folks. That subject is Christian music. I was not ready for the vitriolic attacks that came my way. I found out in a hurry that people's corrupt Christian music was much more important than their money. They were ready to fight and die for it. It was a lot easier and much less controversial to teach and preach on tithing than it was on Christian music. Whoa, Nelly! Get that wild stallion under control before he stomps you to death under his feet. I've listened to many men preach against contemporary Christian music and then turn around and have it performed in their churches. Inwardly, I would shudder when I heard it. It is an offense to the Holy Ghost that is in me. The truth of the matter is that most men in Baptist pulpits and behind Baptist lecterns do not know how to recognize the devil's music when they hear it. They are spiritually clueless to the dangers of corrupt music masquerading as Christian music. They have not been trained and will not train themselves. They are willfully ignorant. They will condemn contemporary Christian music because those who they run with condemn it in word, but not in deed. Most Baptist pastors do not know what it is they are condemning and why it should be condemned. I've had two pastors to either tell me that I should not teach on contemporary Christian music or that I should back off from teaching that which I was already teaching. I obeyed their directions. Both of those pastors either had serious issues or were developing issues with the poison of contemporary Christian music in their churches. I once attended a so-called independent fundamental Baptist church that was trying to call a replacement pastor. He led several services before he was called. He and his wife sang music together, and they sang some of their music while he was candidating for pastor of the church. The music was atrocious and reeked of contemporary Christian music. When that church called that man to pastor, my wife and I left over the issue of music and the King James Bible. He was compromised in his music and in his Bible. I have said for years that if I can steal a church's Christian music and substitute the devil's corrupt music, then I can steal their Bible, their doctrine, and any standards of separation they claim to have. The devil's counterfeit Christian music is a wide-open doorway to sin, compromise, apostasy, and heresy. Once that doorway is opened, it cannot be closed without a very painful amputation. Its head must be chopped off if a church has any hope of being delivered from its satanic clutches. Corrupt Christian music corrupts absolutely. When the doorway to it is first opened, it squeaks but a little bit, but eventually it builds to an excruciating loud roar because the devil's music goes about roaring, seeking churches that it may devour. The devil's music is both born and born of the spirit of Antichrist. The devil's music makes the feet move before it gets to the heart. We have many churches in America whose services rival even the loudest and most vile rock concerts. Many churches have sensuously deep smoke and light performances before the shallow preaching gets underway. That music is performed, and I emphasize performed, by musicians that look like, dress like, and act like whores and whoremongers. The music is hell-bent on producing a sensuous, carnal response from its listeners. Most of it is raucous and lewd. It is unholy, ungodly, and unchristian. It is a vile assault on the holy ears of the Holy Ghost. You cannot please God with the world's putridly vile music. The music of a church is of the utmost importance to God. Contemporary Christian music is not God's vehicle for worship. One of the huge problems with contemporary Christian music is many of what I call bridge songs that they produce. Bridge songs are like using honey to draw a bear when you have no defense against that bear when he shows up. That bear will destroy you just like bridge songs will destroy your churches. Bridge songs are kind of like antifreeze to a dog. The dogs cannot resist it, just like a carnal Christians cannot resist corrupt Christian music. The antifreeze tastes good to the dog, but it is deadly. A bridge song is an absolutely beautiful song with godly lyrics, holy melodies, and the godly use of instruments to accompany it. The problem with the bridge song is that it is sung by a contemporary Christian musician who also produces other so-called Christian music that is corrupt to its very core. When people buy their music for that good song, that one good song, then that good song becomes the bridge between it and the rest of their corrupt music. Some bridge songs would include How Deep the Father's Love for Us by Stuart Townsend, In Christ Alone by Townsend and Keith Getty. Another bridge song would include the beautiful song Before the Throne of God Above by the Gettys. Another would include the beautiful song I Know My Redeemer Lives by Nicole Mullen. Another popular bridge song is the song Redeemed by Big Daddy Weave. The group's name on that one should tell you a lot. Nicole Mullen, Stuart Townsend, and the Gettys are full-blown Christian rock and rollers. Pastors and music leaders must be very careful about what music they bring into their churches. The members of Big Daddy Weave are opposed to biblical separation. Let me repeat that. The members of Big Daddy Weave are opposed to biblical separation. Any music that is used in a church must be evaluated doctrinally and by the musician's theology and whether the musician is a contemporary Christian musician. If church leaders shirk their responsibility to protect their churches from corrupt music, they are inviting the devil in. Allowing contemporary Christian music into a fundamentalist church is like throwing your congregants into a den of vipers or into a lion's den. Pastors should require their song leaders and themselves to study and know issues related to corrupt Christian music. There are yet other issues with these corrupt musicians I've been talking about. There is much corruption among contemporary Christian music and their musicians and song readers. Many of those who write, compose, sing, and play contemporary Christian music have the vilest of rock musicians as their musical heroes. They openly praise them. They use their techniques in formulating and playing their music. There is also a very heavy influence and promotion of sodomy amongst many contemporary Christian musicians and those who finance and promote them. God still says that sodomy is an abomination, folks. The world uses the purely chemical term homosexual to refer to what God calls a sodomite. God will not honor or bless the satanic ministry of any so-called gospel singer that either participates in or promotes sodomy. Here is a list of contemporary Christian musicians who have publicly proclaimed themselves to be sodomites: Douglas Harrison, Marcia Stevens, James Cleveland, Ray Bolts, Kirk Talley, Anthony Williams, Clay Aiken, Jennifer Knapp, Doug Pinnock, Ty Herndon, Amy Ray, Emily Saliers, and Bicky Beeching. There are many others. It is not just the sodomy, folks. There is a spirit of Antichrist within contemporary Christian music that promotes and or fellowships with every major heresy you can think up. You should hear what some of the rock singers and voodoo practitioners have to say about drums. They are literally used to put people in touch with devils and evil spirits. Now, my wife and I support a missionary and a national pastor in Kenya. Some years ago, he and I had a discussion concerning Christian music and the instruments that should not be used in a church service. That Kenyan pastor told me that he would not allow drums in any of his services. When I asked him why, he pointed directly to their satanic influences in African cultures. It is the same in Western cultures. The Western cultures have their smoke-filled mosh pits with their head-banging music and drums. The drums establish a sensuous mood and paint a picture that leads to an increased likelihood of satanic activity. While the drums are a primary vehicle for satanic influences, Satan can use any musical instrument to corrupt what should be Christian music. It is all about how an instrument is played and where the emphasis is put on beat and rhythm. Beat and rhythm are yet another study in and of themselves. Take heed, folks. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Will you, I'm pointing to you, I'm talking about you, apply this to yourself. Will you fight for godly music in your church? I'll say it again. Music is not neutral, folks. Just not neutral. Many times when you challenge an individual about how the musical instruments are played when singing so-called Christian music, you will hear them say that it is not the music, but the lyrics that matter in Christian music. Folks, that is a lie of the devil. How the musical instruments are played is much more powerful than the lyrics. Corrupt music can completely destroy a song's message. Many folks that are addicted to the devil's music will go to war with you over that. In music, there is a thing called text painting that is used to convey in music what the lyrics are supposed to be saying in words. In other words, the music and the lyrics must match up with one another. And in the music should help convey the message that the lyrics should be presenting. Godly musicians have used those techniques for centuries to help convey the message of the lyrics. They have painted their lyrics with godly music. That is not what happens with most contemporary Christian music. How they use the instruments totally destroys any godly message that the lyrics were written to convey. If the musical instruments contradict the lyrics, it results in mass confusion. There is a spirit that is associated with any music piece. It is that spirit that will drive and carry the playing of the instruments and the resultant message that is conveyed. You cannot play the devil's music to God's lyrics. It will grieve the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost that is the spirit of any music that honors God. Does the Holy Ghost anoint the music that you use in your church? Or is it pushed along by the spirit of Antichrist? This has been a very tough topic to preach on, But we need to have some godly standards in our music in our churches today, because I've said this for many years, and I've said it already here today, but if I can come in and steal your Christian music, it's not long before I can steal your Bible, take your King James Bible away from you, and bring in a corrupt perversion, and then I can steal every dress standard and standards of conduct that the Bible teaches from you, and then it's not long before that church is graveyard dead. It has been deserted by the Holy Ghost. I want to thank you for joining us today.